This next item is unlocking the power of our stories. You can keep your antennas on or off for this one, but this is imagining a museum and building our future. Now, we've talked some about this idea, but we have made some great progress in moving in this direction. And we want to celebrate that progress, but we also want to invite each of you to be part of the movement of conceptualizing what we're going to do. And so we have a panel of individuals, and it will be moderated by the chair of the Federation's Jacobus Tenbroek Memorial Fund Committee. Here for this presentation is Catherine Webster.
At Convention and Beyond, we open the doors from the past to the present to the future.
Large empty building, room of concrete, and an exposed ceiling.
Now we are embarking on a new journey, and you are the key. It's more than filling an open space. We will bring a museum of our movement to our fingertips.
Jacobus Tenbroek.
Why should we do this?
Sanho Steele Lushar.
I'm talking with President Riccobono. We're looking at a rocket. I glance over, and there's a metal braille sign. And I said, wow, that's amazing that I, as a blind person, just reached over and saw this braille sign and was able to read it and have equal access, equitable access, to my sighted peers at a museum. And then he stopped and said, Sanho, that's the bare minimum. That's what's required by law. We're doing so much more, and that's why we need the museum. That was just phenomenal. It was transformative.
A museum of the blind people's movement will showcase key moments and exhibits.
The experts said it couldn't be done.
Images of Tenbroek.
The agencies for the blind said it shouldn't be done. But the Federation was born. We proved our organizational capacity, established our representative character, initiated legislative programs on the state and national levels, and spoke with the authority and voice of the blind speaking for themselves. We assisted in bringing to completion the campaign to secure white cane laws in all of the states.
Kenneth Jernigan.
As we stand at the door of the fifth decade of our organization, we must thoroughly understand the lessons of history.
NAC protests.
Get off our back! NAC! NAC! Get off our back! NAC! NAC! Get off our back!
And the museum will have some of your favorite moments and memories.
Syed Rizvi.
My favorite moment in Federation history is during a time that I was not alive, but it is when Justice Thurgood Marshall used the writings and works of Dr. Jacobus Tenbroek in Brown v. Board of Education. I thought it was really inspiring that Dr. Jacobus Tenbroek's works were not only impactful in the world of disability rights, but were also useful in the world of race rights and standing up for all marginalized groups and minorities.
Pam Allen.
When we were all cheering on President Riccobono as he and his family made their way around the track, and I can remember hearing the horn beep as he drove by and thinking about what was yet to come.
The Blind Driver Challenge started at 30 miles per hour and increased to a record-breaking 211 miles per hour.
Ron Brown.
One of my favorite Federation moments is when Dr. Maurer was inside the crane and he drove it in the convention center and everybody went nuts, and we just had a good time with that because we were groundbreaking on the Institute, I believe.
Kenneth Jernigan.
We are the ones who have the responsibility.
Our community is more than ready to develop an institution dedicated to sharing our lived experiences.
My teaching career ended due to my impending blindness and the negative attitudes towards blindness. I felt sorry for myself. I was devastated, but I had already learned the value of self-worth. So I continued my march towards freedom. Many doors were open to the blind. Many doors were closed. But that didn't stop me. I went from door to door.
Ryan Strunk.
Everybody has their own personal stories, but I think when you stitch those stories together into the epic of blindness writ large, you'll see just how much we have accomplished as a result of the work we've all done.
Mark Maurer.
Nobody else can create the future. We must do that for ourselves.
Doors have been shut, but we know how to break down barriers. A museum will help us continue to change the world.
Marilyn Green.
Blind people are everywhere in the history of our country. We're in the politics, we're in the entertainment. I think that a lot of times we're overlooked by others as well as ourselves. So knowing that we've been everywhere as a part of the history of this country, I think, is phenomenal.
Denise Brown.
As me being an African American, I can go to museums that give my history. As me being a woman, I can go to a museum that gives my history. So I want people to see the history of blind people, to notice the things that are similar about all of us, but learn that there are ways that blind people do things a little bit differently to get to the same goal.
Cricket Beidelman.
We want people to understand the power and the essence of blind people.
Blind students launch rocket. Photo, National Federation of the Blind, Jernigan Institute.
You are the key to the next big door, the Museum of the Blind People's Movement. Make a pledge today at nfb.org/museum.
National Federation of the Blind logo, live the life you want.
Good afternoon, Federationists. I am honored to be moderating a panel with such esteemed colleagues on stage with me today. But before we jump in, let's orient ourselves to who's going to be sharing their thoughts with you today. So if you're facing the stage, our panelists from right to left are Jordan Castor from Colorado, Marilyn Green from Illinois, Sharon Krever-Weisbaum from Maryland, and last but never least, Donald Porterfield from Arizona. So if you asked me a year ago my opinion of museums, I would have probably told you I hate them. I go into a big, bustling building with lots of pretty things that I can tell you absolutely nothing about. I hardly can touch anything, and when I can explore with my fingers, it's usually the glass window that protects whatever artifact they're trying to show me. Enough of that negativity, though. I didn't know what an inclusive, immersive, and accessible museum could really be, because I don't think they exist. I loved the idea of museums and what it can really educate and offer the public, but my wondering stopped there. Now, when President Riccobono pondered over the idea of starting this initiative to build a museum of the blind people's movement, I think we can all agree in this room, who better than us? So there are so many reasons this museum excites me, but I'm gonna hand it first over to Sharon Krever-Weisbaum to share with us what excites her.
Hello, members of the NFB. I'm Sharon Krever-Weisbaum. I live in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm the managing partner of your old friend, Brown Goldstein and Levy. We are a law firm that has been with you and beside you and learned from you for the last 35 plus years. And no one could teach others around the world, around our country, about inclusion and accessibility better than the NFB. That is why when President Riccobono told me about this initiative and invited me to hear about the museum and asked us to support you, we talked to the partners, and in about one day called him back and said, we're in. So we're excited to be a supporter, and we can't wait to visit the museum.
Thank you, Sharon. Marilyn, what excites you?
The experience. Those of you in the room who know me know I'm all about the stories. The stories of people learning about their lived experience. And that's what's so exciting to me about this museum, us sharing our stories, the diversity and inclusion of it, to let people know that blind people are everywhere, that we are in the tapestry of this great country that we live in. We're in the politics, we're in the entertainment, we're in the food, we're in the religion. So much of who we are is a part of this country. And I think that's so important, and that's what excites me. And also the fact that it's not just plaques on the wall. It's immersive. It's something that we can experience ourselves as blind people. It's not others telling us what is there. It's us being able to touch and experience it on our own, and that's what excites me about this museum.
Thank you, Marilyn. Jordan, what about you?
Hello, family. When I first got a call from President Riccobono telling me about the museum, I got goosebumps. I saw that video, I got goosebumps. I started dancing. I am so excited, so thrilled. This museum is going to be anywhere and everywhere. There's going to be traveling exhibits, online components. We can share our history and our dreams for the future with educators, our sighted allies, people in remote areas who don't know what's possible yet. We can open our hearts and our history and our home in Baltimore to people all over the world, and I am pumped.
Thank you, Jordan. Donald, tell us what you think.
Before I tell you what gets me excited, I have to say that I once visited the United States Supreme Court and was not allowed to experience it. And what pumps me up about the Museum of the Movement for the People of the Blind, or the for blind people, excuse me, is that this is going to be inclusive to people with disabilities from various intersectionalities. If you are deaf or hard of hearing, deaf blind, you are going to be able to access this museum. It is going to set the standard by which all museums of the future will need to follow, because it is going to be open and experiential to everybody, no matter what cross-section of disability or intersectionality that you have. And so that is one of the things that is truly, truly exciting about this journey that we are on.
Thank you, Donald. So we hear intersectionality. We hear catering to people with multiple disabilities, the virtual component, companies having a way to turn and understand what museums can look like. And there are so, so, so many ways that you can be a part of supporting our museum, whether giving personally, within your company, as a family, affiliate, chapter, but even more so spreading the word about what we're doing. So before we hear from our fabulous supporters, bear with me on some of the logistical pieces. So grab a slate and stylus so you can jot down all the great info I'm about to share. So main museum page can be found nfb.org/museum. So here you can find all of our updates, information, anything that you want to tell others, that's the place to go. To be placed on the formal honor roll, we're looking for $10,000 commitments. So right now we're looking for at least $1,000 pledges over 5 years. But of course, if you want to be placed on the honor roll, that the higher amount of $10,000 is what we're looking for. But the power of your voice in sharing our initiative with your colleagues, family, and friends is so, so important. So if financial means is not your comfort right now, what I challenge each of you to do in this room is talk about the museum with five people who don't know what we're up against right now. Pledge at the Give20 table or online by visiting nfb.org/museum-pledge. We are seeking prospect ideas for the capital campaign, so you can send an email to museumcampaign@nfb.org or bring to the Give20 table any of those ideas. We are asking for members who are willing to help make asks in relation to the museum capital campaign. That address is museumcampaign@nfb.org. And if you have ideas on content for the museum, please contact Nicole Chrysis, who's our archivist at the Jernigan Institute, who will be sitting in the Maryland delegation, or can be reached at extension 2310. Now, if you listen to none of my last minute of blabbering on the logistics piece, you can always visit Patty Chang in the back at the Give20 table, who can share all the information that I just shared with each of you. So thank you in advance for that. Now, to share really cool stuff of how all of our panelists had that aha moment of taking the step toward giving, let's start with Jordan. Why are you giving individually?
When I was thinking about donating, you know, I honestly prayed about it. And I always think about leaving a legacy. What can I do to leave a legacy? I'm coming up on my 30th birthday. I'm feeling really old, guys. But don't laugh at me. I'm a deep thinker. So I think about, you know, what can I do? Sometimes I feel, you know, like just a small part in the grand scheme of things. But I'm passionate about our history, and I love technology. So when President Riccobono called and asked me, I knew that this museum was a perfect fit for me to give. And I have two younger brothers who are blind, and we also have a third blind host student who in our family from Kyrgyzstan, and I think about them. I think about my brothers. I think about, you know, all the blind children and the next generation. You know, there'll be blind people running these exhibits and mentoring and having experiences with successful, competent blind adults was what got me into the NFB. And at our youth slam, President Riccobono said, "This is your home now. We're going to give you the keys." And I hear, you know, we are the keys to the museum. And that just really lit a fire in me. And I hope that it will light a fire for the next generation to continue writing our stories. And there's no better way to show the whole world that we can live the life we want. And let's be the keys.
Thank you, Jordan. Donald, how about you and Amy?
Amy and I, when we first heard about the museum and that we were gathering donations so that we could fund the museum, it was never, ever a question about whether we would give or not. It was a question about how much were we going to give, because it is so incredibly important that we the blind, tell our own story. That we, each and every one of us in this room, has a part of that story to tell, whether it's a sentence, a chapter, a paragraph, or a section of that history. Each and every one of us has a part, and the National Federation of the Blind is the driving force behind us telling that story so that others don't tell it for us, because others won't get it right.
No, they won't. Marilyn.
Sorry. What I was going to say, just kind of closing it out, is that, you know, it's important for us to talk about the struggles that we've had, the failures and the successes, all of it, because all of it is going to shape our future. I have a family that is fully invested in the blindness business. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, Lenny and Marion, my stepson, my nephew, they are all heavily invested in what Amy and I work really hard, you know, to do, which is advance the rights of the blind. So thank you.
Thank you, Donald. Sorry, your remarks got me so excited. All right, Marilyn, why did the Illinois affiliate take this step?
I am blessed to be a member of an affiliate that's so rich with history and passion and activity. I have a membership of active past presidents. We have a charter member. We have students, and they understand how important this is. So that's why we knew that it was important. People who have advocated in the 70s regarding sub-minimum wages, getting Braille for blind children, we all know the importance in each and every day. They teach me why this museum is important to all of us as blind people. That's why my affiliate decided to give.
Thank you, Marilyn. So Sharon, when we saw BGL on the list, of course, no surprise with how much support we receive from you all amazing people, but do you mind telling us a little bit more about why BGL took that step?
Well, our law firm, as you know, is a civil rights organization, but we only do the things we do because we learn from our clients, in that case, the NFB. We can't tell your story, but we try as best we can to tell the story through the advocacy we do for you. I would like to see other companies, I'm sure there are many already and there'll be more, but I'm hoping other law firms, other companies from around the country who are both in the industry of blind products and things and who are not, can come together and support this amazing museum to be.
Thank you, Sharon. So folks, today we are making history. We are going to be the go-to museum that showcases what immersive, inclusive, accessible experience can and should look like in museums across the world. Thank you, President Riccobono, for highlighting our excitement this afternoon, and thank you all for supporting this first-of-its-kind mission. Have a great Tuesday.
Thank you very much to our panelists. Not quite door prize yet. I got an important announcement. Well, first of all, let me say thank you again to all these folks on stage who have made contributions. You should know that, as Catherine highlighted, with the honor roll, which I'm going to share with you in a moment, highlights contributions $10,000 and up. But every contribution matters, and 100% of the Federation's Board of Directors had made contributions. 100% of the Jacobus Tenbrook Memorial Fund Board of Directors has made contributions, and many other people who are not listed on this honor roll. I wanted to say about Brown, Goldstein, and Levy, they were our first major gift commitment. And when I went to Sharon and said, I have a big ask for you, and I asked her for $500,000, and she said, yeah, that's a big number. But as she's already highlighted, she did come back a day or two later. It didn't take much time at all, so I think it speaks to the tremendous commitment of Brown, Goldstein, and Levy. Now, I mentioned in the presidential report, we've gotten over $2.7 million in commitments, specifically $2,790,280 have been committed from 73 individuals or organizations. Our honor roll, which is on the website, starts at the dream promoter level, which is $1 million and above. We currently don't have anybody in that category. So if that's you, you could own it for the moment. We would like a $1 million contributor. We have the expectation builder, which is $500,000 to $1 million. And there we do have, as noted, Brown, Goldstein, and Levy, and the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. Under our accessibility ambassador level, which is $250,000 to $500,000, we don't have anybody currently, so you could be there. At the Braille booster level, which is $100,000 to $250,000, we have listed there Ray Kurzweil. Ray will be with us at the banquet later this week. Under that level also, we have organizations. That was the individual contributor we have listed. We have organizations, and that includes IRA Corporation. You heard about that earlier this week. Also, Blackstone Consulting. Blackstone does a lot of work with our blind merchants. And also Wright Gardner Insurance. So thank you to our 100,000 and up contributors. Then we have the community connector level, which is 50,000. And we have a couple of individuals there. First and foremost, Francisco and Patty Chang and Kevin Worley. Organizations listed, now get this, organizations listed at this level. The Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind. Market Development Group, and we have the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, Nevada, Oregon, New Mexico, Oregon, Texas, and Utah. And also our National Association of Blind Merchants. So a number of federation affiliates getting in. We also have the Saturn Corporation at this level. And then we have the next level is our Inclusion Influencer. These are $25,000 to $49,999. Individuals in this category include Jordan Castor, Mark and Patricia Maurer, John G. Perret Jr., Mark and Melissa Riccobono, Terry and Aaron Rupp, Ramona Walhoff. So thank you to our individuals at that level. We also have a number of organizations at this level. We have the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, CNIB, and Connolly and Associates Fundraising LLC, and also Harpo LTD, which is a technology company. Our storyteller level, which is $10,000 to $24,999, includes these individuals: Dana Ard, Roland and Pam Allen, Everett Bacon and Angela Peters, John Bergren, Ron and Jean Brown, Sean and Latanya Calloway, Glenn and Norma Crosby, Christopher S. Danielson, Sandy and John Halverson, Everly Hairston, Dr. Dan and Joe Ireland, Mary Ellen Jernigan, Anil Lewis, Barbara Manuel, Ronza Othman, Donald and Amy Porterfield, Tony and Pam Schnurr, Carlos Servan, Tracy Sofranco and Sharon Apple Sofranco, Catherine Webster, and Jeff and Sheila Wright. Also, at this level, I guess we don't have any organizations at this level. So thank you to all of our contributors. There are others who are not listed on the honor roll. But the thing I want to leave you with is we need many, 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 many GORB gifts. But I want to announce today that there is a member of the Federation, and although they have opted to remain anonymous today, there is a member in this convention participating who has made a $1 million contribution to the Museum of the Blind People's Movement.